Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they do.
Silly underdog picks here on this Thursday edition of Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, the commissioner, Willie Donick, alongside and now our esteemed panel. Let's bring in former quarterback. Now he is also down in Rutherford County with me. Kelly Holcomb is on the line. Kelly, how you doing?
Kelly is going to be 15 minutes. He actually just told me he'll be 15 minutes. We'll have to call him back.
Oh. 15 minutes.
Wow, he's got to be talking to his guys about these picks.
Wow, okay. Well, there is quite the development. He's coming off a win we'll get to in just a second. Okay. Well, let's bring in Forever Titan Chris Sanders, who is an NFL record holder, which is
negative 36 yards, baby.
Pretty impressive. Worst rushing yards in the history of the NFL.
Thank
Forever
you. Appreciate
Titan,
it.
Chris Sanders. How impressed are you?
Man, I am. You know, I'd like to thank my fans. I'd like to thank my mom. Thank the people that helped me get this record. I mean, it just feels so good to be in the record books in the NFL. It feels really good.
Can you say on air, Chris, what you said whenever the ball was handed off to you and Kevin Green was coming towards you?
No, actually, it was what was the guy from Miami? It was Taylor.
Jason Taylor.
Jason Taylor's the one who did it.
Did you scream?
I screamed and yelled because if he didn't get me, it was off to the races. And
he tackled me.
He got me. And after that, I talked about his mama, talked about everything, just said some bad things to him, and I was very upset.
How come you were not able to use that track ability in runs? You could do it with catches, running down the field, but not running the football.
Just blame it on the block.
Darren, just go ahead and rub it in. Just stick it on in there, buddy.
No, we are acknowledging that you have an NFL record. That's what we're doing. We're paying homage to you. That's what we're doing.
I mean, it was like this. Right when I got the ball, right when Mac handed it to me, he was already in my mustache. I mean, I couldn't do anything. I mean, if somebody's in your mustache, I mean, what are you going to do? Just a loss of 30-something yards. Hey, you just got to take a loss. And if I'd have gained some speed, he would never caught me. But right when Mac handed to me, wow, that's it. It's a wrap.
Oh, man.
Thanks for rubbing it in. Appreciate it. But this is the way I'm talking.
I was going to say, it's too bad, like, if there wasn't, like, a couple, you know, some cool names on that list with you. But they're all punters, Chris. The next, like, five names are punters for worst rushing yards.
And I didn't recognize not one. So what does that tell you?
You don't remember Bob Grupp?
that sound like something you catch on your foot. I got a Bob Grupp on my foot. I mean, what are we doing? I'm on the list, and I read the list, and all I could do was laugh. I showed my son, and he was like, "What in tarnation is going on here?" I mean, that's exactly what it was. But hey, I made it on the list, baby.
You said that he's faster than you. Is that really true?
He in the 40-yard dash, he is, but in the 100-meter dash, he's not. Like in the 40 meter dash, as a sophomore, he ran 4.32 electric, and they timed him about a month and a half ago. He ran 4.26, 4.27 legit, and my fastest time was like 4.29, 4.3 flat. But in a 100 meter dash, I ran 10.21, and his fastest time was 10.6. So I can smash him in a 100 meter dash.
There you go. Better in the distance, which you did. Your rookie year average 23 yards a catch.
23. See, that sounds good. Doesn't it sound good when you average?
No, that sounds really good.
As opposed to negative 36. Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it. Love you.
I was bringing that up out of love.
Where's Dwayne?
To recognize you.
You couldn't wait to say that. You couldn't wait.
I really
on what I did to you and what I did to you last year when I scored 71 points.
Yeah, you're right. I could not wait to get to the segment. Yes. All right, we must do that then. We must review. Let's turn it over to the commish.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another great week of the Silly Underdog Picks for the year 2020. Our online contest continues to blossom. You can play every week by going to thegamenashville.com. The games are up on the board. You can play this week, even if you haven't played all year long. We've got weekly prizes, so jump on in. Have some fun with us. Let's look at the online contest last week. First, the most popular picks. The most popular pick, by a pretty wide margin, 32% of the audience, about a third, selected Army, an underdog playing at home against the Cincinnati Bearcats. Cincinnati pulled out the win, but they were on the right track. Pretty good game, for sure. The next most popular two were a pair. Syracuse against Georgia Tech was one, and as we'll get to in a moment, that was a correct pick. And then Kentucky against Auburn was the next most popular. Ole Miss came a little bit in the next tier. 17% took Lane Kiffin and his crew. But Kentucky as a home dog, 23% of the audience took that one. Now, one of the biggest upsets, it's fair to say the biggest upset of the week was Kansas State winning against Oklahoma. Take a guess how many people had that in our contest.
0.0.
Zero?
I'm going to say zero.
Four
like
people.
I said, four.
Four people selected Kansas State, who beat them for the second straight time. So congratulations to those four people for sure. Now let's get to the insiders and their picks. Kelly Holcomb had the first pick. He selected NC State, a 6.5-point dog, playing at number 20 Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. And they had all kinds of issues with COVID-19 in Blacksburg. They had 23 players not available. So it really looked like an advantageous situation for the Wolfpack, but it didn't happen. 45-24, a good resilient effort by Virginia Tech to get the win. Tim Hasselbeck, consultant, a guy we talk to every week, the insightful NFL commentator, he actually was on the call for that game, so he had some interesting insights about what led up to that game on our show yesterday. But Kelly gets no points there. Chris Sanders, the defending champion, looking for his first win, had Texas Tech, an 18-point dog against Texas. And as we know, Texas Tech led 56-41 and looked like they had all the momentum, pulling away for a big upset, only to lose 63-56 in overtime. Texas scored, got to within 8. Got an onside kick, scored again, and got the 2 in the final minute to get it to overtime and then dominated OT. So, Chris, you were on the right. You could taste the 18 points. We were there with you. And then it just all slipped away.
You know, life in the Big 12. Give him all, man.
Chris, as much fun as we like to have with you, that was gross.
That was gross. My son had to talk me off the ledge. He had to talk me off the ledge for real because I was getting ready to jump.
That was bad. It was really bad.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So Chris, still looking for the first win. Darren had the next pick. He went with Syracuse.
Syracuse
has been picked 3 different times.
Unbelievable. Just rub it on in.
What were my exact words? Guys, what were my words?
You were weak.
Chris,
too early.
Yeah, I was like, you were off by 2 weeks, man. This is the week.
So Syracuse lost as a big dog for Chris Sanders the first 2 weeks. They win as an 8-point dog against Georgia Tech, who was good to Darren earlier in the season. 37-20 is the final. They won easy. So Darren gets the W. Chase McCabe took Kentucky, 7.5-point dog against Auburn, a very popular pick in our online contest. They came up short 29-13. Though they played okay at times, they were right in there. Chase then had the first pick in the pro contest. Remember, this year, we're adding a wrinkle. You take a college team and a pro team. Chase had the Chiefs. A rare time to take Kansas City as an underdog. 3.5 points at Baltimore, and it was no contest. The Chiefs won easily, 34-20. So Chase gets 3.5 big ones there. Darren McFarlane had the Cowboys. A good pick. 5-point dog at the Seahawks. They were right in it. Led 31-30 down the stretch. It was a wacky game, but the Seahawks pulled it out 38-31. They end up not even covering. But remember, in our contest, no points for a cover. So Darren comes up short because the Seahawks win. Chris, still looking for the first win, went back to the Texans. He went back to the well, a team that he had selected the week before. Houston, a four-point dog at Pittsburgh. The Steelers win at 28-21. The Texans are 0-3. And the Sheriff, defending champion, is now 0-6 with a rough start. Then finally, Kelly Holcomb took the Packers in the Monday night game against the Saints, or was that the Sunday night game? The Sunday night game. And Aaron Rodgers, in a thriller, wins it 37-30 in impressive fashion. So Kelly picks up three. So at the end of 3 weeks, Darren McFarland, with the two big wins on the college level, is 2-4 with 20.5 points. Second place, Chase McCabe. He's got three wins for a total of 15 points. Kelly Holcomb right there, 3-3 with 13 points. Remember, it's all about the points. And Chris Sanders still looking for his first win. So Chris Sanders, 0-6, still plenty of time. You shoot for the big points, so you're one big win away from being right back in it with your philosophy. I'm
when this is all said and done, whoever lasts last, first, whoever lasts first, always lasts last. No, that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean.
No, I really so don't, but right whatever. You don't know?
Whatever it is. I'm just upset right now, man. I mean, y'all just rubbing it in, and you know my feelings get hurt quick. I'm just mad right now. Really upset right now.
Is Chris mad or is Dwayne mad?
No, Dwayne is in a good mood. Here's Dwayne. Hey, guys, hey. We're going to bounce back. But Chris is like, man, what in darn gummit are going on right here? That's what we got right now.
All right. Hopefully Kelly Holcomb will be ready to join us to make his picks in our next segment. Congratulations to Nate Miller from Nashville. He was our weekly winner in the online contest with 28 total points. Remember, in our online contest, you pick three games. You can go two college, one pro, any combination of college and pro games. You just pick three. And you get the picks in before kickoff Saturday morning. So make sure you go to thegamenashville.com to play. When we come back, week four with the insiders. Chris Sanders will have the first pick for the first time this season. Darren in the two hole, followed by Chase McCabe. And then Kelly Holcomb will have pick four. And then he will have the first pick on the pro side. Stay tuned. Silly Underdog Picks 2020 continues here on 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It is time to make the picks for week four of the Silly Underdog Contest. Here on 102.5 The Game, Darren Donick and Chase. Darren and Chase are poised to make the picks. Chris Sanders is going to have the first pick in a moment, but we welcome Kelly Holcomb to the microphone. We've got him here. Kelly, welcome.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Kelly, we're doing well. Just for people that missed our last segment, and Kelly, just to inform you, you are in third place after your victory with the Green Bay Packers, a great showing by Aaron Rodgers Sunday night in the Superdome. And so you trail the leader, Darren, by 7.5 points. Any commentary on the contest so far?
No, I'm still in third place. What is Chase?
Chase is in second with 15, and Chris, the defending champion who shoots for the big points,
donuts,
has still come up empty here.
Donuts.
So how many points did you say I have?
You got 13.
13. I've got 13. Okay. Well, all right. Sounds
good. It's a tight race.
It's a tight race. It's a good race. You know, hopefully Chris don't get hot like he did last year and come up with some crazy stuff, because he was texting the other night with that crazy pick.
Well, it was a crazy pick. And I have to say, the Sheriff in Town music was playing throughout my head Saturday afternoon as that game was going on. So with that in mind, let's play the theme song for Chris Sanders as he takes the microphone for his week four college pick.
There we go. Oh, yeah. I like it. All righty. On this pick right here, I'm not going to let Chris pick. I'm going to let Dwayne pick. You know, it's just like a Rocky movie. When you're down, you got one way to look up. One thing to do, and that's look up. So I'm going to go with Vanderbilt over LSU.
I knew it. I knew it.
Vanderbilt over LSU.
Let's go, baby.
I'm telling you. Hey, sometimes when you're down, you got to believe for the impossible. And I think Derek Mason is going to do the impossible and shock this country. Let's go, baby.
You called Derek Mason this week and said, Coach, I got you. I got the first pick. I'm going to pick you. You're going to wear those awesome helmets, which they are. They're fire helmets. I love them. You're going to wear those. You're going to beat LSU. I got you in Silly Underdogs. That's how it went down.
Let's go, baby.
Just don't tell him your record this year.
Chris Sanders selects Vanderbilt, a 20.5-point underdog.
Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby.
Playing at home against the LSU Tigers, who are coming off the tough loss against Mississippi State. That will be interesting. Ed Kelly, by the way, if you would like to comment on that, feel free. But also, were you aware that it became known through an article in The Athletic today that Chris Sanders is the all-time leading rushing yardage the opposite way? Minus 36 yards rushing is the lowest total in NFL history. Were you aware of that?
I did not know that. No, I did not know that. But, you know, it's not surprising with some of the picks that he makes. It's minus 30, minus 20.
Just rub it in. Love you guys. Just rub it in. About him.
So if we had a blind test of our audience, who had more rushing yards in his NFL career, Chris or Kelly, the answer would be Kelly. We'll have to look up Kelly's stats to see how many rushing yards he had.
I don't know about that, fellas. You'd have to look that one up.
Well, you had more than Chris. Because
you're not negative 36.
The next five guys on the list are all punters, and you were not a punter.
Wow.
They needed to give you a couple more chances to make that right, man. Four carries, that's not true. That's too small of a sample size.
But when you're going negative 9 a carry, how many more chances do you get?
Hey, I made the records book, baby. I'll always be known.
You're number one.
Hey, he's one of them guys that takes that jet sweep and he goes sideways instead of going north and south. That's how he is.
I'm telling you, when Taylor's in your mustache, you can't go anywhere. I'm telling you.
All right, that brings us to Darren McFarland. This is going to be a bittersweet moment here, playing the Indians fight song after the Indians bowed out in disappointing fashion against the Yankees.
Next year.
It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. Next year. So catch Indian Fever. Be a believer.
Next year.
Silly underdog picks.
Stay up late.
Chris stayed home with his pick. I'm going to stay home with my pick. I saw a little spark last Friday night. This is the week. This is their big rival game. This is their week. They're going to get the W. I'll take MTSU in the 7.
The Blue Raiders Middle Tennessee at 0-3 are a 7-point home dog against their rival, Western Kentucky. Saturday at 4 o'clock. Is it 4 o'clock Central? Or
I think it's 4 o'clock our time.
4 o'clock Central. Okay. I'll take your word for it. All right, the Blue Raiders. Kelly always gets antsy. He's like me with when somebody picks Vanderbilt. I get a little antsy, get a little nervous. I don't like touching stuff like that, right? So I knew Kelly was not going to pick that one.
Right.
No, not ever, not ever. And you know, they're struggling. I mean, they're not playing very well right now. So, you know, obviously a bitter rival. So hopefully we can get up for that game.
Well, the good news is Western's struggling too.
Western's 0-2.
I hope so.
All right, that brings us to Chase McCabe. Steady performance so far. 3-3 on the year in second place.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm surprised this game is still on the board because I thought Darren might take it. War Damn Eagle. Give me Auburn plus 6.5 on the road against Georgia.
Seventh ranked Auburn is a 6.5-point dog on the road at number 4, Georgia, who looked a little shaky for about 35 to 40 minutes against Arkansas on Saturday. Will they have the shakeup at quarterback? It looks like they will. How good is Auburn? This is going to be a good one. It's a 6:30 start on ESPN. Was that on your radar, Kelly?
Absolutely it was. I'd say it's on everybody's radar.
Not mine. That's why I didn't take it. It's a loser. But anyway, good pick,
it's
Chase.
Possible, but hey,
good pick. No, it's a losing pick. But hey, good pick.
Hey, he's a loser.
Hey, Chase has been doing rather good this year. So
no, he's been good doing good in pros.
I've hit one in college though, and
he has.
I've been
one
close.
One of his three wins are on the college front. All right, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb. He's got back-to-back picks here, wrapping up the college, and he'll start the pros.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Woohoo!
I was late.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to go against Darren's team. I am going to say the Ole Miss Rebels beat Kentucky.
Oh.
Mm.
Well,
I'm going to say Lane Kiffin brings it this week.
Well, they better score a lot of points because they can't stop anybody.
Well, yeah, the defense did look a
little
shaky. Their
defense is a hallway. It's open.
I had that one, Mark Kelly.
Like stop traffic, huh? we'll see. I don't know. That's what I'm going with. Ole Miss this week. I'm going to say Ole Miss beats Kentucky.
Ole Miss is a 6-point dog up in Lexington in the Commonwealth against the Kentucky Wildcats. And before Kelly now gives his pro pick, I will tell you that in his NFL career, his total rushing yards, 30.
There you go. Look at you.
Oh, nice.
Plus 30.
Sweet.
So
great. Would have never guessed that.
Just rub it on in. Just
66 yard differential.
Just rub it on in.
That's unbelievable.
Just shoot me while I'm down.
Embarrassed, dude. That's embarrassing.
By the way, you're 66 yards better than a former track star.
That's embarrassing.
Kick me while I'm down. I mean, it hurts. I'm crying.
When you catch one of those screens, don't go backwards, dude. Just go forward.
I'm just over here in tears right now. Just go on doing it. Hey,
in fairness to Chris, to get the 30 yards, Kelly, you did have 43 rushes for 30 yards. So that's 0.7 yards per
43,
carry.
He had 43 rushes?
Yes, and he had a career year in Buffalo in 2005, 18 carries for 11 yards.
Oh,
wow.
Boom.
Great.
That was
that's
the most.
Awesome, dude.
That's the most he had in one year.
That's unbelievable. That's like useless information nobody cares about.
That's one of my specialties, Kelly. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, hey, I've been around you long enough. We definitely understand that, Commission.
All right, Kelly.
Useless information. Freaking Willie Donick.
That's right.
Okay, so my pro pick is I'm going to say that Carson Wentz picks his game.
Dang it.
And I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles beat the San Francisco 49ers.
That's a winner. Dang it.
Negatory. San Francisco is going to blast them.
That's a winner.
Okay, we'll see, Christopher. Get off the side first, homie.
Just rub it in. I'm just sitting over here crying. Go and I'm taking it. Go ahead.
The Eagles coming off of the debacle last week. The tie against the Bengals, in which was a very painful overtime to watch, where they lined up for the 59-yard field goal only to get a false start and have to punt. They are a 7-point dog in San Fran against the Niners. So that brings us to Chase McCabe for the second pick.
Yeah, well done,
Dang
Kelly.
Dang it, Kelly. Freaking, that's a
Sorry.
Winner. God.
Well done. All right, well, then I will go to my second one. So last week I picked the Chiefs, and it worked out for me. This week, I'm not going to do anything with that game, so I'm going to move on. You like that?
I'm calling a balk. Everybody advances one base.
That's not a balk. That's just trickery. I will go with the Raiders. +3.
I actually wrote P-A-T down in pen. I got to scribble that out now. I thought you were going. You deked me. The Raiders, playing in Vegas, where they played very well in their home opener, are a 3-point dog against the 3-0 Buffalo Bills. I'm sure Titans fans will be watching very attentively for that game. A 3:25 start on CBS on Sunday. All right, Darren.
Well, I looked at the Patriots Chiefs, but nobody can stop the Chiefs. Their offense is just ridiculous.
It's like a
video game. Even Chris could have positive rushing yards. That Chiefs offense.
Wow.
Shade, wow. Man. All the shade.
Wow. I'm just over here crying. Just rub it in.
I'm going to take, hopefully this game happens. This is kind of dangerous pick here, but I'm going to take the Vikings plus 4.5. What happens if the game is postponed?
If it's postponed, then I think you have to address that when the game is played. In other words, if it's played later in the season, you would get credit for those points if the Vikings were to win.
Okay.
That's what I think would be fair.
So you would just take a goose egg this week, but the game is played later.
Yeah, you'd get an incomplete for this week.
I'm good with that.
And so the line goes with it, right? You don't change the line 5 weeks later.
I think you have to do that way, even though in theory a different team could be favored or the points could be completely different.
Right.
No, I think he's locked in now.
You have to be locked in. Like you can't.
Yeah, I think he's locked in.
Because I wouldn't want. What if I don't want the game then? You know, what if the line is completely different? What if it's a pick 'em then?
I think you got to be locked in.
Okay.
This is the somebody has to win bowl, or could there be another tie? You never know. Vikings are a 4.5-point dog playing on the road against the 0-3 Texans. All right, Chase McCabe with the final pick of the week.
I picked already.
I'm
sorry.
I mean, what are we doing? You forget
about. I mean, I'll take another one, but.
When you're 0-6, you don't get the second pick. No, I'm just kidding. Chris Sanders with the final pick.
Wow.
Thank you. I'm hurt. Okay, I'm going with Miami over Seattle.
The Miami Dolphins.
Nobody said anything. I thought y'all hung up on me. Okay.
Miami is 1-2 on the year, and they're a 6.5-point home dog against the 3-0 Seattle Seahawks.
Has Miami been picked every single week?
I think so. They've been a very popular pick. Let's just see. They were not involved last week, but they were involved the first two weeks. Darren, in fact, you took them both times and lost.
Oh, it's going to be payback time, baby. I knew there was something about
this. So this, Chris, this could be your payback for last week with Syracuse.
Doubt.
So maybe is this the right time to take the Dolphins? Okay, so let us review the picks as I scribble down the correct picks in pen. All right, this is week 4, Silly Underdog Picks. Remember, we want you to play online with us. We have weekly prizes. Have fun with it. It makes the games more exciting when you watch them. The Underdogs must win outright. Chris Sanders has the first pick in week 4, 0-6 on the year. Trying to get jump started with the Vanderbilt Commodores down the road on West End Avenue, a 20.5-point underdog against the defending national champion LSU Tigers, stinging after getting torched by Mississippi State last week. Darren McFarland takes Middle Tennessee, looking for their first win. They're a 7-point home dog against arch rival Western Kentucky. Somebody's going to get their first win in that game. Chase McCabe selects the Auburn Tigers in a matchup of top 10 teams and, what do they say, the oldest rivalry in football. Auburn is a 6.5-point dog on the road against Georgia between the hedges. Kelly Holcomb stays in the SEC and goes with Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss Rebels. 6-point dog playing up in Kentucky against the Wildcats. Kelly then starts the pro picks by taking the winless Philadelphia Eagles, a 7-point dog on the road against the 49ers. Chase McCabe goes with the Las Vegas Raiders, 3-point home dogs against the undefeated Buffalo Bills. Darren McFarland with the third pick. Darren leads the competition right now, tries to add to it by taking the 0-3 Minnesota Vikings, 4.5-point dogs, taking on the Houston Texans. Also at 0-3. And then finally, Chris Sanders. His pro pick, the Miami Dolphins. They've been selected twice in our competition so far as underdogs. came up losers both times. But they're a 6.5-point dog this week playing at home against the 3-0 Seattle Seahawks. Remember, thegamenashville.com is the place you make your picks, and those are our picks for week four. Gentlemen, good luck.
Whatever.
Guys, good stuff as always. You have a great week.
All right, fellas.
Who do you have Friday, Kelly? I think he left. Chris?
No, Chris left. Kelly's there.
Kelly, who do you have Friday?
We have got the Seagull Stars. We got a lot of injuries, man. We're having to overcome a lot of injuries. We got a bye week next week, and the bye week couldn't come. I wish it would have come a week earlier.
Yeah.
Lost some guys, man. We got two running backs down. We got a right tackle down. So we've got, my son, that's where I was at. My son had surgery today. He broke his finger in the game against Blackman the other night.
Oh, no.
Yeah, his index finger on his throwing hand. So that was not good.
Everything all right today?
Yeah, he had surgery this morning. They put pins in it, so he'll probably be sidelined for about a month or so. Hopefully we can make a good playoff run. I don't know. We'll see.
A little patchwork to be done down that way. Thank you as always. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. See you.
Kelly Holcomb and Forever Titan Chris Sanders. Good stuff as always. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Saturday, our college football game of the week on ESPN 94.9. That's presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game will be A&M and Alabama. Kickoff is at 2:30. So be looking for that. Also on Saturday, check out Nashville SC as they take on the New England Revolution. That'll be at 6:30 p.m. Saturday evening. All the action also on ESPN 94.9, and the pregame coverage will start at 6:15. So a couple things to check out on 94.9 this weekend or on Saturday. Starts with A&M and Bama, and then followed by Nashville SC and the New England Revolution. Alan Bell from Sportsline, who we had on this week, has tweeted out no fines in the last couple of minutes. No fines or punishments are expected for the Titans in regards to the current COVID situation. However, there could be additional protocols put in place for when teams re-enter the club facility, as it looks like the Vikings have done that today. We talked about their game against the Texans. So far, no positive test from the Vikings, and I have to believe if anything were to go that direction, that game would be in huge, huge jeopardy. But so far, so good on the Minnesota end.
Yes, thank goodness, because that keeps it a little more – that keeps it contained, and that's what you're hoping for if you're the NFL right now. And the big question, right, is what have we learned? Like, from the league, that has to be what they're saying. What have we learned from this, and do we need to amend some of the protocols, make them a little stricter going forward? But I guess if you can get through, and this is the only game that is affected because of what happened last week, then maybe you're confident you can keep rolling with the same protocols, because they did. It was perfect, right? Up until then, they had no issues. But it just shows you that it's out there, and it could happen at any time to anybody. So that's good from the because that falls right in line with what Mike Vrabel said today, right? He goes, we followed the protocols. We're very confident that we did so. And now going forward, he's asked his team not to gather. They will have daily testing through Monday, so it's not like they go on vacation, right? So essentially this is their bye week. So from a rest standpoint, they have to take advantage of that. But it's not like you can get like a little rest and relaxation away. I don't know if you could anyway, regardless of the situation. But now they have to come in and get their testing done through Monday. And I think reading into what Mike Vrabel was saying, he was careful not to say we know when we'll be back, because you don't know what's around the corner, right? You hope that tomorrow there's not another test or two. But he says, we have an idea of when we'll be back, but it will be based on the results of the test going forward. So hopefully, fingers crossed, the game with the Bills is not affected next week, and maybe by Tuesday you start your preparation for that and you go forward.
Yeah, well, I think they've had – that's the thing that worries me. Like, I'm sure they've had an idea, you know, of timelines. And he's been careful of speaking on timelines too, because we saw the tweets going around last night of, all right, it could be Monday at 4 o'clock, you know, Monday night, what have you, and then that all changed this morning. That's the thing that I am worried about, because we've now, you know, woken up the last couple days and, another player tested positive. And so I'm hoping that today is the last day of that all ends tomorrow. That will make me feel a lot better. But as we put out there earlier, the coach cliche, one day at a time, is kind of where we're at in all this. So
I was listening to Joe and Robbie this morning on Morning Drive as this was going down. And Joe was referencing some angry Steeler fan tweets that he was seeing. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin on having to play 13 straight games without a bye due to this rescheduling. Quote, "We do not care." So
that's what he's got to say. I mean, that you right. just if you're a coach, you have to say that. Whether you believe that or not, maybe you're privately ticked off, and you can say that in meetings with your coaches, you know, behind closed doors. But, you know, outwardly, that's what you have to say. I mean, there's no other way around, especially with what's going on. I mean, this is what you knew going into the season. It was not going to be business as usual every single week for 17 weeks. Come on. You can't tell me anybody really thought that, right? Like, there wasn't going to be. Yeah, it stinks. It affected you, and it wasn't even you guys. It just happened to be your opponent. But, you know, that's what it is. I go back to when we talked to Paul Feinbaum back in the first hour of the show, because we talked to him every Thursday at 10:15, and I asked him, okay, SEC's back, right? 1 week in the books. Big week two. We just pick some of their games. Okay, so far so good, but when's that coming, right? It's going to happen. I think, like, all these dates are there. We're aware of dates, and you have to have dates, but you also have to, as we've been talking about, who was it? You said Ryan McGee is the one who said put everything in pencil.
Yeah.
You got to have dates, but put them in pencil, because right now I can't imagine this is the only one. There'll probably be others. Hey, if it's every 3 to 4 weeks, you'll take that all day. That means there's only, what, four hiccups throughout the course of the season for the NFL? If you have 4 weeks that you have a hiccup, I think you'd take that out of 16/17 weeks, right? You'll take that in the NFL.
If you keep the batting average of one game every 4 weeks, that's a reasonable goal, maybe, but that is something that you have to look at is, do you need to have that cushion, that makeup week after the season, and then do you need to think about a bubble for the playoffs? I'm sure they're thinking about it. The question is, how far down the road, you know, are they prepared to put that in motion if it gets to that point? Hopefully they are.
Well, and college football is going to have to do the same thing. Like, that's the thing.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what we're talking about.
Well, right now, all 41 bowls are planning on playing, right?
Good luck. I mean, I don't know what date you're going to put out there, but my guess is you better come up with some alternate dates, because now that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have reversed course, and, you know, we're just waiting for the SEC hiccups, waiting for the Big 12 hiccup or hiccups. Is it singular? Is it plural? ACC, same thing. Guess
what? The Sun Belt just had one.
They just had one. Let's pass that along.
Yeah. Louisiana, who had the big win at Iowa State, a very good team. And App State, we know Appalachian State is a very good program. They were set to play next Wednesday, and right now they're saying, can't do it. So they are right now being proactive just under a week before the game is to be played. So we can't do it. They're going to move it to December.
Yeah, and I don't.
One.
Well, and I don't trust. I mean, back to the bowl games and stuff. I don't trust the NCAA or college football, you know, to be proactive or anything on all of this. I mean, from what we've seen through this entire process, so who knows what that's going
to
look like?
Well, let's just say you wanted to have 41 games. You would have, if the Pac-12 doesn't play, right? And we still don't have a clear plan if and when they're playing, right? We think they might eventually, but. Do we know anything right now?
With who? I'm sorry.
The Pac-12.
Pac-12? I thought it was the first weekend in November. Is that not what they've been kind of floating out there?
But is it official that they are back playing? They're going to play?
And you're saying in Penn?
Well, I'm saying, has it been officially announced by the Pac-12 that they are returning?
November 6th and 7th.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
So they
the
are
first
officially.
Weekend in November, yeah.
Okay. Well, filling 41 games of eligible teams, you know, how is that going to happen?
Well, and what's eligible going to be this year? I mean, is it?
I think that's a fair question.
Like, is that going to now, you know.
Clearly, you have to change the parameters because you're playing less games.
Right, but if you're
you could be a pretty good team. Let's say an SEC team goes 4-6 in the 10-game schedule. That's actually not that bad, right? But it's a losing record. I would say that team could beat a lot of other teams from other leagues.
Right, and
whoever it is.
If you're a Big Ten team, you're only playing 8 games, and obviously it's going to be a little more difficult to get to 6. I think that's something that they look at.
Well, we know that there's no way you can hold a team to have to play 6. So how low are you going to go? If a team's 2-6, but they played well against top teams, they just came up a little short. Like, how much are you stretching it? And if they have a good fan base, and you're like, we'll take them. Come on down.
We're getting into some TSSAA playoff scenarios there.
We are, but that's 2020. That's the bowl situation. You got 41 games.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah. If that's what it is.
Hey,
you
hey,
won
we gotta
one
run.
Game.
You're in.
We got
somebody's scoring.
We got to run before
we have
the 13th inning. Wow. What a concept. Braves and Reds.
Let's go.
What have they played? They've played 18 innings. And finally, get a run.
Mr. Acuna.
So they've had 2 runs in 18 innings between the 2 teams.
A rocket double up the gap. So the fear, I don't know about the fear, but the concern, everybody was saying, boy, you don't want to play the Reds because they've got these tough pitchers who have been almost unhittable down the stretch. That's played out. They have been almost unhittable, but the problem is they haven't scored a single run.
Trevor Bauer, he might want to look for a team that can score runs in the offseason.
He was tough yesterday, and Castillo's been pretty good today. That's the first run he's allowed, a 2-out double in the 5th.
Ian Anderson's been really good in his debut, too.
He has been very good,
debut.
Man. He is exciting.
Cubs Marlins postponed. Rained out.
Yeah, bad weather. It was bad weather yesterday at Wrigley, which actually helped the Marlins. They hit a couple of balls, especially the second home run was hit. Jesus Aguilar went opposite field, and he got a little wind help. So the Marlins up 1-0. Yeah.
We kind of talked about before this series of, okay, are the Reds, you know, are they hot at the right time? Are they one of the most dangerous teams? How about I'd say the Marlins are in that category too.
How many Marlins can you name?
Not many. None.
Those out
actually.
There?
Actually.
Don Mattingly.
You know how I think the team that could be the really scary team that nobody would have said? I don't know about nobody. They've kind of got a big fan base. But the Yankees, if this is what they are, yeah. They're going to be scary.
Yeah.
They have their hitters back. And, you know, Stanton has come back and hit a couple of bombs to go with all the other guys. So that lineup
plus they've
is
got the
pretty...
premier ace in Cole.
Right. Now, what they don't have Severino. They don't have Paxton. Their starting staff has been hit by the injuries. But that's where you maybe can get them. But they've got a lineup, no question. Now
well,
they
you
play
don't
the
need
Rays.
Those guys if you're going to score 9 a game.
Right, but now they're going to face a staff. Well, that's you would have said it about the Indians, that they can, you know, good pitching beats good hitting. That wasn't the case with the Indians against the Yankees. Now we'll see what the Rays staff can do against them.
1-0 Braves through 5.
No, Ozuna with the flyout with 2 on.
He's been really good for them.
He has.
Not surprised. I'm not surprised, though. I kind of figured he'd turn it on when that sign. I liked that,
yeah.
That signing.
Yep, and I'm sure somebody not named the Braves will pay him in the offseason.
Isn't that amazing? So we just talked about the Indians. The whole theme was pitching. And you couldn't score runs on them. You can't score runs on those pitchers. They're going to strike you out 14 times, and, man, you're going to need, you know, you don't need very many games or very many runs to score to win. games in that series. Well, that wasn't the case. And then this series, yeah, the Reds have pitching, but you would think, you know, the Braves, the way they hit, be a lot of runs. And nothing. Nothing. Two runs in 18 innings between the two teams?
Nope. Been a pitching duel, which I like, but it's funny. I was after the show yesterday, I was watching it, and I heard Matty V on the ESPN broadcast say that it's, you know, in 2020, things are different. It's been a hitter's year, but we're watching an old school National League game, and that's exactly what it was, of just, you know, a pitcher's duel.
I don't know how much I can really blame the hitters. Some of the pitches that are coming up there, I mean, they got some nasty stuff on those pitches. These are good pitchers.
Yeah.
It's hard to hit.
I like it. See, that's the old school National League fan in me. I like a pitcher's duel, so I've enjoyed it. I like it even more now that my team is up 1-0, but.
So the White Sox, A's, Brewers, Dodgers is the nightcap. Cardinals, Padres, those are their many games. With the Cubs and the Marlins being rained out, we will come back and bring in Elliot Friedman. We'll switch gears a little bit, talk a little hockey with him as we start getting geared up for this. Is now truly their off season. There's going to be a draft, and what's up, David Poyle's sleeve. We'll get into all that with Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. He does it all up there. Our weekly chat with him on the other side for the fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.